As Trey mentioned, the topic I'm going to speak to you today about is winter wheat tolerance to fall applied invoke under two planting methods as a cover crop for Tennessee. I'd like to mention briefly that this is a study funded by Syngenta. I'd like to thank them starting off, but also that they also ran this study in a couple other states, Georgia and some other states in the South. But I'm just going to be primarily presenting on Tennessee's data today. When we think of cover crops, we think of stewardship. We think of erosion control, whether wind or whether soil. USDA has a program, Crop Residue Management Program. In order to be accepted as a proper compliance with this program, they require greater than 30% or equal to or greater than 30% ground cover to comply. Also, nutrient management. We see that with the loss of erosion, whether wind or loss of soil due to erosion, whether wind or soil, we do lose nutrients. So benefit of a cover crop to maintain those. Also, increase in organic matter, whether increasing also, which leads to increasing of nutrient holding capacity and water holding capacity. Another justification for this research would be resistance management. As the previous speaker just mentioned, it's one of the most difficult things to get across kind of to a grower sometimes is the using of certain programs for resistance management. We see a large amount of the southern cotton belt with glyphosate resistant horseweed or mare's tail problems. One specific weed biology problem with this weed that makes it more of a problem is it germinates about 10 months out of the year, from anywhere from fall to early summer. So can have multiple flushes, which causes problems. We see more of a shift to early pre-plant or pre-emergence herbicides, utilization of residual herbicide. One residual herbicide, specifically the one I'm speaking of today, is Invoke, which is trifloxysulfuron, manufactured by Syngenta. I think it was brought to the market in 2003, the 75DF. You can see on the right side is the chemical structure for trifloxysulfuron or Invoke. The use rate is 1x rate. Labeled rate is a tenth of an ounce ounces per acre. Usually applied post-emergence, greater than five-leaf cotton, but as I mentioned in the previous slide, with more focus coming on residual use herbicides, Invoke does have very good effectiveness for a residual use herbicide, so we're starting to see it as a early pre-plant herbicide that's going to be applied in the fall due to restrictions, need 90 days or more. 90 days or greater before planting needs to be applied. This is just a slide to show that the Invoke is effectiveness for controlling horseweed. This is a picture of some research plots at the experiment station in Jackson. On the left, you see the untreated check. To the right, with the untreated check, very heavy population density of horseweed. And on the right is just the 1x rate of Invoke applied in the fall with Roundup and Clarity. So very effective herbicide when used early pre-plant. Some cover crops that are typically used in cotton or can be used in cotton. We have a lot of emphasis on vetch and clover, which are leguminous species, which have the ability to fix nitrogen. And with the high prices of nitrogen, this may be really... also, they have the monocot species. Oops, slide's getting ahead of me. The monocot species, ryegrass, wheat, oat, these are tend to be more predominantly used in the southern cotton belt. In Tennessee, we see more use of wheat cover crop as a predominantly used cover crop type. Reason is it's economical, very cheap, very good seed viability. Along with that, it's very versatile. You can apply it either broadcasting or you can do a drilled seeding method, but also it grows very well in a wide over a broad type of soil types. Also, it's very hardy, can take compaction and wear and tear pretty well and be pretty resilient. But also, it's easy to burn down. I think that's the main thing when farmers go with the cover crop. They want to be able to, when they go to plant, they want to have something that's very susceptible to the cotton burn down herbicides, and wheat is definitely one of those. And finally, weed suppression. This goes into resistance management with wheat's ability to tiller out in this type of growth. We see a ability to reduce weed seed germination, which is another, but also once failed to mention, put up here, but also in specific locations along the Mississippi River Delta and more sandier soils. The benefit of a cover crop as far as wheat is to prevent wind erosion such as sandblasting that can affect on the cotyledons or the cotton when it's young. So the research objectives was to look at wheat injury, the effects of Invoke on wheat injury, also cotton injury, specific, and then finally cotton yields. Wheat stand reduction, wheat stunning, and cotton injury were on a 0 to 100% scale. It's a visual observation. All data was for the visual observations were, and the cotton yields were separated using or analysis of variance with means separated using Fisher's protected LSD at 0.05 level. The research methods for this study was two studies, separate studies. One was a broadcast study. The other study, the second study, was a drilled study. Both were randomized complete block designs with 2x3 factorial arrangement along with an untreated check. The two part of the factorial arrangement was a two application timings, a before seeding application timing and then an after seeding application timing. Specifically with broadcast study, the early pre-plant timing was considered the before seeding. The after seeding was a pre-emergence. For the second study, the drilled study, the before seeding was a pre-emergence application and then after seeding was an early post. Now, I'd like to mention that the pre-emergence and early post after seeding applications are both representing direct contact of the herbicide to the seed or to the actual plant. And finally, the three part of the factorial arrangement was three rates, a half X rate or 0.05 ounces per acre of Invoke, a 1X rate and a 2X rate of Invoke. And also, I'd like to mention that Gramoxone Ineon was in all treatments along with Clarity and NIS, but except for the early post application, it did not contain Gramoxone Ineon due to potential injury to the wheat crop. This is just a example of what we saw when we went out to take our ratings. This is a broadcast study that I have shown on the slides. You can see the no-till cotton crop with just the wheat broadcasted over the top to kind of give you an idea of what we're seeing. I'd like to briefly take a second to set up my slides. We have at the top the type of study, specifically in this one, we'll start off with broadcast data. We see also the stand reduction or the type of injury I'm going to be looking at, the type of injury data. On the y-axis, we have the application timings, early pre-plant or pre, and then on the x-axis is the type of injury. In this case, is percent stand reduction, and then three bars representing the different rates. So we see that at the pre-emergence and early pre-plant application, we did see some stand reduction. This, again, I'd like to mention, failed to mention that all data due to amount of data we collected for this study, I'd like to just only focus on the peak injury that we reached the highest level. So 28 days after treatment, we see that we do have a rate. As the rate increases, we see an increase in stand reduction from about at the highest rate, about 60 to 68% stand reduction. One thing I'd like to focus on is the lowest rate of half X rate we see and that 1X rate at the early pre-plant or the fall plant, the early pre-plant application, we see that we do have less stand reduction when the herbicide is applied before seeding. So I think that's a good something to focus on. 91 days after treatment, stunting, you see that pre-emergence, a similar trend, pre-emergence and early pre-plant applications, we still see the increase in stunting as you increase rate. You see it's a little bit less in not as easily noticed, but we still see a slight reduction in injury with early pre-plant when the herbicide is applied before the seeding. So once again, I think this would be the more recommended application timing for broadcast wheat when the wheat is spread across the ground is apply the herbicide before you apply the wheat seed. Okay, on to cotton injury for the broadcast study. At 230 days after treatment, we did see some cotton injury. We saw at the pre-emergence and early pre-plant application timing about 30% at the highest rate. At the 1X and half X rate, we do see that injury was lower, but it's still not what we would think it would be. But I think the reason why we have the high level of or the higher level than what is expected with a 1x and half x rate is because of the drought we had. We had a very dry season in Jackson. This could contribute to more of the soil or herbicide remaining in the soil, not being leached out. But 2 weeks later, we see a decrease in the injury observed. Still seeing some at the 1x rate, 0 to 1% with either application timing at the half rate, at the half x rate. Still seeing quite a bit in the case of the 2x rate where you might have an overlap of a nozzle or something. So we'll go on, continue on now to the second study, which is drilled wheat. I'd like to point out one small change in these slides is that on the y-axis we've gone from pre-emergence to from early pre-plant, or the before seeding is the pre-emergence application now. The after seeding is the early post. But at 28 days after treatment with the drilled wheat seeding, we see that stand reduction was not observed. There's zero stand reduction whatsoever observed. This could be due to the fact that the seed was buried beneath the soil level, less concentration of herbicide there. 56 days after treatment, the stunting of the wheat, we see a similar rate reaction to stunting here with the highest rate producing the most injury, right up about 50 to 60%. I think we broadcast it was 60 to 68. But we do see a reduction in stunting or a decrease in stunting at the pre-emergence application compared to the early post. Once again, this is the soil. Soil applied or pre-emergence application, the seed is more contained or protected by the soil, where the early post is actually a foliar application, so more stunting would be expected. Cotton injury at 230 days, you can see the early post applications and pre-emergence applications, just like the broadcast study, received some cotton injury, but much like the broadcast, we did see a decrease in injury. We see that about 8% or less at the 1x or half x rate. Again, I'd like to stress that it was a very droughty year, and this could have some effect on the amount of herbicide left in the soil. I'd like to show yield here briefly. I have both studies, the drilled study and the broadcast study data on this slide. First off, the drilled study, we see the green bar. I've added a new bar. It's an untreated check. Comparing the untreated check to all the treatments within the drilled study, we are seeing the effect of that high amount of injury or higher amount of injury on the 2x rate, followed by less injury to the or less reduction in yields in the half x and 1x. Similar in the broadcast, we're seeing the most reduction in yields, the higher 2x rate, and then less adverse effects in the half x and 1x. So, in summary, less wheat injury when Invoke is sprayed before seeding. That was specifically in the case of broadcast, but also it was seen in the drilled study. The wheat stand reduction and stunting were minimal at the half X and 1X rate of Invoke when applied in the broadcasting wheat stand. No wheat stand reduction when in drill seeded. All wheat stunting that was observed did decrease with time. Also, cotton injury did decrease with time. And was the injury was minimal with the lower rates and did not seem to have an adverse effect upon yields. So as far as future research, we looked at Invoke safening on wheat with PGR herbicides. This has been done. Research has been conducted with some sulfonylurea herbicides in grain sorghum, and with the safening effect of a PGR herbicide, specifically Clarity. Clarity was in this study was applied to applications, but wasn't much. There was only a standard, I think, 8 ounce or 6 ounce rate of Clarity. So maybe possibly look at varying rates of PGR herbicides and safety. The second future part of research would be a seeding rate. Typically a bushel per acre is used for wheat for cover crop. It's the general standard. Maybe we could do a little more research and see if we can knock that down or bring it down to a lower level, maybe save on seeding cost. And finally, look at the other leguminous crops with the rise in nitrogen prices due to oil rising prices. Maybe we could look at the benefits of leguminous crops. I don't know how well adapted right now farmers will be to accepting these, but it's a possibility. Final acknowledgments, I'd like to thank Pat Brawley, West Tennessee Research and Extension Center, also along with the staff there at the center. for this, helping with this research, and again, Syngenta for funding. I was kind of hesitant to put this slide up there at first, but I thought, being this is an educational talk, I'd do my best to provide all education. There are other pests out there that you need to be aware of, other than just weeds or insects. Oops, skipped on me. But be prepared to do other forms of pest management. This pest management is a little bit more enjoyable than getting up on a sprayer in the morning. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Let's have one quick question.
Yes, sir. Mr. Kendig.
Or. Yep, in fact, you're planting wheat. What, how would we use both? Does wheat not keep the horse wheat down well enough to hold the young people in both of them?
If I heard the question right, I believe the question was, why do we need both? Wheat cover crop and the early pre-plant herbicide application? Is that correct? If that's the question, we would need both due to residual control. Yes, we do get some suppression with the wheat, but upon burn down and deterioration of that cover crop, we will see with the 10-month germination period of horseweed continual flushes. Now, with Invoke, as pointed out in that picture was early in the slide, was taken after harvest. There was a bush hog in the back you probably couldn't see. We still remain throughout the year very good control with Invoke. So I think it's very important that they be coupled together to get both benefits of the suppression, to take a little bit of the load off maybe of Invoke, but also to have the residual length control.
Yeah, I just wanted to connect the dots on your higher level funding. Do you think you still are maintaining adequate wind protection from the cover crop benefit?
Can I ask you to repeat the question, please? I had a hard time hearing.
Some people plant cover crops for wind protection. I know you don't have data on that, but do you think your wind protection is being maintained at your higher levels of sun?
Okay, the question is... The question is the higher level of stunting still providing adequate control of what we call sandblasting, wind erosion? That's a problem. Yes, I do believe that with the broadcast rate or the drilled rate, although broadcast is not used as much, primarily more drill is not used as much, broadcast is used more primarily, that you would still see, even with that stunting, with a heavy, one bushel per acre broadcast rate, I think you would see still significant control of the erosion or protection from that wind erosion. Like I said before in the summary slide, the wheat has a great ability to overcome that stunting. Most of the stunting I was showing you there was about a month, maybe 2 months, 2.5 months after. It's still able to come above that stunting and protect.
In order to try to stay on schedule, we're several minutes over. You can save your questions for Drew later. I'm sure he'll be around the rest of the morning. Drew, thank you.